Hey, I told you to move the beans.
All you have to do is move it.
Move the beans.
Hey, move the beans.
M-O-V-E.
This is the Move the Beans podcast. Stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results.
Here's your host, Dan Abaticola.
Hello, podcast world. Welcome to the Move the Beans podcast, stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. I am coming to you from the home studio, Studio 33, underneath the tub, because of the national lockdown, the worldwide pandemic of the coronavirus has changed things up for pretty much everybody. What I thought would be a cool idea is we're going to do a virtual check-in on some former guests over the next, you know, a couple episodes over the next few weeks here. And what we're going to do is kind of bop in on four former guests to see how they're doing, if they're healthy, if they're safe, and how their routines have been adjusted because of the coronavirus and the lockdown that we're kind of going through. And so it's pretty interesting conversations I had. It was a great time catching back up with these four guests. And I know you're going to enjoy the conversations and hearing what they've been up to and how they're adjusting in their life. So let's jump right into our conversations with four of our former guests. Hope you enjoy it.
Hey, we are with Michelle Schumacher, guest, I think, on episode 14. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. We were just laughing and going crazy, like in our pre-show meeting for like 2 minutes. She was still giggling and I was telling her to be quiet. But, you know, if you know Michelle and if you remember her from episode 14, she doesn't follow directions really well. She likes to give out directions, but she doesn't follow them really well. So I was like telling her, be quiet, be quiet. And then she was going, okay, yeah, oh, let's go, come on. And then she was laughing. I'm like, she's out of control.
Jeez. I haven't yelled at you yet, Dan, so let's go.
That's true. Well, you kind of did. So anyways, how you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. And how are you doing? And how everybody's staying safe in your house right now?
Yeah. Actually, I've been telling everybody this, like, okay, so I had to make a makeshift studio in my basement. So I'm in, instead of the Move the Beans podcast studio powered by Dominion Lighting and Solar. Hi, Gracie. Oh, Gracie just came over and kissed me. I am in the basement, Studio 33, underneath the tub. So if by chance Gracie takes a bath during one of the recordings, you're going to hear water running. So that's not a big deal. So anyways, everybody's doing good. And obviously you're healthy and you're good, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, good. And so how has it been? Like, we're just kind of checking in on all of our guests just to kind of see, like, hey, we're thinking about you, kind of a virtual check-in, mm-hmm. letting everybody know that we're all good. And so how is it living in a worldwide pandemic and a lockdown? What's it like been for you?
Well, as far as what I've been doing, I work from home anyway. The good news is beautiful videos are on West Vine Park District right now. They're like 2 minutes long.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you got to check those out, of course. But I am actually continuing to do exercise. And you and I were kind of talking about, you know, it's not the same being at home. So, people will be different or they don't treat it the same way because it's not the same discipline, especially if they're not, you know, really good about staying within a routine. So, it helps to kind of keep me going doing the same movements. I try to change them up. I was just telling you that me and my roommate, we just walked 17 miles today. So wow. I know. Yeah. So it's something I'm trying to do every day. And I know that there's the social distancing, but, you know, there's a couple of us that have been trying to meet at the like forest preserve. And of course, we're staying 6 feet apart. But, you know, there are a lot of people that this is very difficult to stay in their homes. There's causing panic, causes depression. You know, they're eating a lot. I've heard a lot of people saying that they're cracking open bottles of wine more and things like that, which is fine. You know what I mean? If that's what you want to do. But then, you know, I said you're either going to get really skinny people from this or you're going to have roly polies from this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because I think like people are just going to fall into like patterns, different patterns because their schedules are so messed up. And so, I mean, for me personally, like, okay, I can't go to the club, so it's a lot harder for me to work out. I don't have the total gym equipment that I do at the club that's available to me at the club. So I have a couple of dumbbells that are pretty heavy, but, you know, just like understanding like different movements. And so what are some habits that you could give, like for someone who doesn't have a lot of equipment at home, what could they be doing at home to kind of keep themselves in shape besides walking outside, obviously, or whatever?
Well, and this is something that I actually have done for years anyway, because I'm a dork. I'm the type of person that if I was watching a movie, you know, I used to have a stability ball at home. So I would sit on the stability ball, or I'd march in front of the TV or do a little jogging around the house during commercials. I'm actually doing some metabolic workouts, which is kind of the things that I've been doing that you know, got polio from. But when we talked, then the last time we talked on the radio, but.
Hey, could we, first of all, it's not a radio, Grandma. It's a podcast. And could you easy does it on the disease or virus jokes right now? I think that's very insensitive, but go on.
Well, if that's the worst thing you're going to get right now, Dan, I mean, seriously.
I know. You totally just triggered me. I'm sure
you are.
Yeah. Okay, go on. I'm sorry for bothering you.
Well, one of the things that, you know, when I talked to, you know, Joel, he had wanted me to do some of these little videos, and I think Jackie has been doing them as well.
Yeah.
You know, doing things like push-ups. You know, not everybody can do a push-up on the floor. You can do it against the counter. You know what I mean? You could do knee lifts. You can do, if you can do a burpee, that's great. If you can do anything where you're kind of doing like maybe some squats, those are good for you, or, you know, front lunges, you know, jumping jacks are super easy. If they have a jump rope and they're, you know, not too dorky, they can do jump rope, you know, those types of movements are good. If you have stairs in your house, how about stair laps? Those are wonderful.
Yeah.
And yes, I do those types of things. So, I mean, some people roll their eyes and say, of course I do that type of stuff, but I do. I mean, at least try.
Yeah, you totally do. I see.
Yeah, I really do try to follow, you know, some, you've seen me at the gym. I mean.
Yeah, the club. Yeah. You go up and down the stairs. Now, for someone who's, I mean, like in decent shape, because I do like 2,500 push-ups a day. Is that enough or should I be doing a little bit more?
For you, I think you should be doing 10,000 a day.
10,000.
Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, picking up dumbbells, why don't you pick up your daughter or pick up your wife and just carry her up and down the stairs a few times? I mean, that'd probably be good for you.
There's people, they're still in bed. They sleep in and I'm up early. It'd be like me throwing over like a dead body over my shoulder.
It'd be horrible.
So no. Okay. So I was joking around about 2,500, but like, what is it's just like, I'm like 52-year-old guy in, you know, decent shape, I guess, mm-hmm. but like how many pushups should we, like, what's the marker? Like, what should we be shooting for? Like till your arms don't move anymore or what's the thing?
Actually, the way I look at it is you should probably do about, let's say 5 or 6 different exercises. And you're going to do, let's say, you know, sets of 40 to 50 of them in a row. Okay. Then do that again. Okay. So if you do like 3 sets of them, you know, maybe you're just going to do about 15 minutes, but if it's actually good movement. So like, for example, like the ones that I've been doing is, you know, you do a squat, you do a push-up, you know, you do a Superman on the ground, then you do it again, you do two of them, then you do 3 of them, then you do 4 of them, and you start over again. So then you're doing, you know, let's say squat jumps, jumping jacks, front lunges, you know, burpees, like I said, which are wonderful, you know, movements. Going down to your knees, you know, then coming back up to your feet, going back down to your knees, going back up to your feet, those types of things would be really good.
Okay.
And not everybody has equipment in their house, but they could use a towel to do, you know, twists. They could do side bends, you know, with that, you know, using water bottles. Like in the one, you know, video, it shows me, you know, carrying like 2, you know, water bottles. Jackie showed, I think, picking up like a water jug or something like that in her video. And not everybody has that. So I kind of look at it as, you know, you're trying to do something that is mimicking, I guess, sometimes, you know, something that you might do in a class, right? But I also look at it as if you're going to be able to do something like where you could do a dining room chair and you could, you know, sit on the dining room chair, come down to do like a tricep dip, okay, or turn around and put it up against the wall and do push-ups against that, because sometimes people can't go all the way down to the floor. Or they aren't strong enough yet. I think that that's a good thing. You know, folding your arms, standing up, you know, from a, you know, seated position in a chair and then going back down without, you know, touching the chair with your hands, you know what I mean? That's actually helpful. And then again, doing the twist. So like holding a towel out in front of you and twisting side and side, you know what I mean? Side and side, side and side.
Yeah. Well, totally. Okay. So just mix up the movement a little bit, making sure you're working all body parts. And doesn't necessarily have to be like a 3-hour workout.
No, right? As a matter of fact, I believe that like some of the, if you're moving and you're actually doing those, let's say 3 sets of 50, okay? And you're, you know, constantly doing, let's say a push-up and then like, let's say 5 push-ups and then, you know, 5 squats and then, you know, 5 burpees and then do it again and again and again. Like, you know, you're kind of doing a whole bunch of those and then, you know, a whole bunch of squats or, you know, front lunges, going down to the floor, doing planks, you know what I mean? Planks are also good, you know, mm-hmm. exercise. Doing the push-ups are actually great because it's an overall body exercise. Turning over and let's say doing kind of sit-up type of exercises or leg raises, which would be good for the abdominals, or doing dead baby is actually a good exercise. I call it dead baby. It's actually dead bug, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, not really. I mean,
well, for your show, yes, because you know you have
to say dead. Well, for my show, say dead bug. I was like, when you said dead baby, I'm like,
it's kind of like a baby position, and then you're like kind of falling back. You know what I mean? So I've heard dead baby. So you can say dead bug, whatever.
Dead bug.
For you.
Yeah, please do. My goodness, Mike. Okay, so you're kind of used to being like. Okay, so you go to the club, you're meeting with people, private, like lessons and then classes. So like, what does your day look like? How different is your day now? And how are you adjusting to this like weird kind of situation that we're in? Like, what does your day look like? What's your typical day?
My typical day is getting up in the morning and right away I go down and I do my fitness right away. I mean, that's the first thing I do.
Okay.
I do drink a protein drink in the morning. That's really helpful to me. You know, I have online calls that you don't like to talk about, so I'm not and then aside from that, you know, we've been trying to walk. So like today we walked, you know, very long, but usually we walked, you know, between like 12,000 to 15,000 steps. So we're talking about 4 to 5 miles. Today just happened to be a very long day.
Yeah, went a little crazy. Now are you because you're home more, like most people, are you find yourself snacking more or craving food that you usually don't eat or what?
You know what?
You're pretty disciplined.
I am, though, but like right? Today I had pizza. So I feel fine that I had pizza. But, you know, I've been trying to eat, you know, fairly well. It's not like I'm, you know, eating junk food all the time. I do drink water, but let's say I drink a flavored water like the Nestle's with like lemon in it or whatever. But I'm not a huge pop drinker. You know?
Yeah, pop is bad.
It's just not really good for your system anyway, but. That's just me.
Yeah,
you know,
Just what do you get on your pizza? What does Michelle get on your pizza?
Mushrooms. I like spinach. I had pepperoni on this one today. So, you know, I'm not like, it's not like I'm not a vegan. I will never be a vegan because I think bacon is a necessity of life. You know what I mean? It actually makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Bacon does?
It does.
Okay.
But I do eat salad. You know what I mean? I do eat salad. Okay. I mean, we've been eating like, kind of pretty balanced meals. So because I'm doing the metabolic workout, I actually have to tell you, I feel like I've actually lost weight since it's just different. I mean, you're just doing something different. And now that it's getting nice outside, I think it's forcing more people to be outside. You're seeing more people outside. So, I mean, I guess in some ways, you know, I mean, this is a bad thing. Believe me, I'm very sad for everybody to not be in their routine.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm also kind of glad because it's forcing people to get outside, you know, do walking, kind of reconnecting with their families. I think reconnecting in a way that maybe they've kind of lost sight of who they are sometimes because we're always such in a rush all the time. But, you know, I've reached out to some people like from my fitness class because I just want to make sure that they're okay. You know, some of my buds over there, it's important that, you know, they also know that I'm thinking of them and, you know, I care about, you know, their well-being or, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's, you know, not everybody has that, but, you know, think about the people who this is such a routine for them and to be having it taken away, you have to adapt. I mean, in some ways we have to do some adaption because if you don't, think about it. I don't want to go back to the health club and be like, you're their fitness instructor, really?
Yeah, totally. Well, now, I see a lot of families like walking together. I have like a new thing now as I drive by them, I kind of slow down and I roll down my window and I say, family walk. And then they throw stuff at my car. So it's been awesome. That's something I do. if everybody starts doing, I think that'd be awesome.
No.
Like, just,
I think that's
it's kind of like, it's kind of like the ridicule. I'm ridiculing the husband and the boys of the family. You're like, family walk.
Well, this is great because when we went for our walk, we went to Bemis Woods and my sister came with, and there was a couple of people from the class, like Whitney and Pat, Maria and Carrie. And
here you go. You're naming people no one knows, but go on.
No, but
it doesn't matter.
But anyway, we're walking and we're crossing across, you know, Wolf Road to go to, you know, whatever, more towards like Bemis or, you know, towards Brookfield Zoo area. And some guy, you know, yells out the window, "You're not social distancing," or something like that. Like, really? Wow. Like, get out of your car. Come over and say that to my face.
You should like carry some kind of a weapon, like a crossbow or something. Flatten his tires or something. But you're probably fast enough. You could have probably chased the car down and jumped out his windshield.
Yeah, well, I probably could have, but...
And then your nails could have clawed out his windshield, and then you could have killed him, and that would have been a
perfect thing. Show up in my fitness class. I've got somebody already like got polio for my class.
No. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Well, Michelle, I'm glad you're doing well, and I'm glad you're healthy and having fun still, and still the same old crazy nut job that you always were. So we'll see you soon again. We'll open up the club. Everything will get normal, and then we'll get back into our normal routine. So
thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I miss you. I hope I get to see everybody again soon. I miss everybody.
Well, yeah, we'll see you. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
End of part one. Intermission.
It's intermission time.
This is the Move the Beans podcast.
Hey, we are back with another guest, the man who started it all. Thousands of listens, 10 countries later, our first guest kind of kicked it all off. We have Mr. Carson Beebe. How you doing, Carson?
I'm doing good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing really good. So you're healthy?
Yes. Yeah, we're healthy. We're on lockdown mode with the whole family, and we're rocking out this quarantine.
Good, good. And then, so for those of you who don't know, Carson, you have 3 kids currently, right?
Yes.
And then another one, a fourth child, is due in a week or so, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's crazy. So not only you are experiencing your first worldwide pandemic, you know, you and your wife, you have kids, and then now you're going to give birth. And so have you made plans to like go to the hospital? Are you having it at home? How are they working that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So we're having the baby at the hospital. As of now, you're allowed to have one guest.
Okay.
Would be me.
Okay.
So as of now, I'm going to be allowed in the room. So we're happy about that. But we're going to try to get in and out, you know, as quickly as we can.
Absolutely. Yeah. So obviously, you guys are all healthy now. Everything is good.
Yep.
And so adjusting with, you know, being on lockdown a little bit, you have young kids at home. How are you working? I mean, like, have you found yourself trying to develop new habits because you're in the house now and you have all that to deal with? Plus, you have to kind of do work. You know, how are you handling all that?
Well, I definitely think it's a work in progress. You know, it's a new norm that I'm not used to. For me, you know, the environment I'm in is really, really important for me to like be focused in the right direction. So not being around colleagues and being able to bounce ideas off each other and getting that energy from each other is a little bit different, but I've got my office set up so I can remote into my desk and trying to take advantage of the extra time with family. But it's definitely a new norm that, you know, I think everyone's trying to get used to.
Yeah. And I think we're still kind of, everybody's been saying it's so like, we're so new at it right now because we've never done it before. We're still almost in like an adjustment mode, right? Or is that where you find yourself?
Totally. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out the new habits that are going to help me, you know, stay on task. And, you know, when you're one footstep away from a distraction, you know, you got to put some more buffers in the way.
So you ever find the urge, like, you know, you hear a couple kids blowing up outside your office or wherever you're at. And then like your natural urge as a good dad is to go out and give your wife a hand maybe, right?
Yep. Yeah. My wife is a saint. I mean, she's amazing. She has the kids all taken care of and, you know, they don't bug me, but you definitely want to go, you know, hang out with them a little bit more, go take a walk or go kick the ball around and stuff. But yeah, you're absolutely right. When you hear them playing, you want to go play with them. So
yeah, totally. Now, for those of you who remember from episode one, Carson, he does some wrestling, like coaching and stuff still. And then you're in the financial markets, right? You're in the financial planner market. So so now add that, as we kind of briefly talked for a couple of seconds before we went live here. So you have a worldwide pandemic, you have this virus that are, you know, it's serious, it's killing people. Is the media maybe overhyping it maybe a little bit? I mean, it's just the hysteria and getting people all worried maybe. But then now you add your other problem to it is the fact that you're in the financial industry
And now it's another thing that you kind of really have to try to figure out because it's gone crazy in the last couple of weeks, right?
Yes. The markets have definitely been unprecedented in terms of the moves and things. So, you know, talking to a lot of people, definitely busy, probably more busy than ever, just talking to a lot of people. A lot of people have questions. And so trying to help the best that we can.
Yeah. So now if you had to give like one tip or habit as far as like what has been your like straightforward like tip to kind of go across the board, I know everyone's different, but
yep.
Are you just telling people to relax a little bit or is it time to move and kind of do something drastic?
Well, I think the key is the number one reason why most people underperform in their investment strategy is emotions. So you've got to take a step back, keep your emotions in check, remember what your goals are, remember what your time frame is, and don't panic. You know, panic is not a strategy, but just to stay calm, don't make emotional decisions, but, you know, be thoughtful and tactical and avoid the extremes, you know?
Yeah. And that's difficult because they see like, you know, they're probably eyeballing the markets, they're watching the news. And so they're like in a panic, anxiety is high. And so that probably causes people to kind of react a little bit quicker than they probably should, right?
Yeah. And, you know, this hits so close to home. I mean, it's affecting everybody's everyday life. So it's so, I think you were talking about in your earlier podcast, like the anxiety levels are so high right now. So it's just a very emotional time. So I coach wrestling, as you mentioned before, and I coach eighth grade and lower. So we built up our entire season and our state tournament is at the beginning of March. So these kids worked, you know, all year round to build up for the state tournament and it got canceled.
Jeez.
So just heart-wrenching to see stuff like that. But when that hits home, like it becomes real and it's tough for people. I mean, for everybody, from business to kids, you know, trying to achieve their goals and, you know, sports getting shut down. It's tough.
Yeah. So now like, okay, so I didn't even really think about that. The whole wrestling end of it in tournaments. Yep. Not only do they have to deal with adults and their money, which is, you know, good luck with that, but now you're dealing with like kids and the just the emotions of like young kids who are, you know, trained all year and are going to go somewhere and then we're just kind of going to pull it away from them. And so it's, you're being torn in all these different worlds. It's probably crazy to deal with, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's got their own unique things going on. So yeah, it's an interesting world and it tests your grit and it you know, test the fundamentals of what you're all about.
So, when we talked to you in episode one, you said, you know, a lot of what you did was, and how you kind of look at life and kind of formulate life is done with your relationship with Christ. And so how has that helped you through this time? And like, are you just like leaning into him more you see him kind of working in areas that you never thought maybe you'd see him in different ways, you know, like how is that working out?
Absolutely. So much. Yeah. When you have fear and you have an anxiety and you give it to God in prayer, it just alleviates a lot of that. Just knowing that your faith and your worth is built up in God and in Jesus Christ. Like you can march into things with a lot less fear and anxiety, you know, going into this, having a baby, if you don't have God and you don't have a prayer life, I don't know how you'd handle it. You know, it's tough. And when things get ripped away from you and your whole world is rattled, you got to remember what you believe in. It's kind of like in investing, you got to take a step back and, you know, don't be emotional and just really remember what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish in life? Is your life built up in status or is it being at home and spending extra time with your kids? And, you know, for me, I get wrapped up in work too much and this is a good kind of reset. And I feel like it's a good opportunity for God to speak to me about put first things first and make sure that I'm spending time with my family. And if I'm not spending time with my family, God will find a way to make that happen. And that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting though, as you were talking, I was kind of thinking like, you could say that same speech, but change some words around it. You could use it for yourself. You could use it for the people that you're counseling in the financial area. And then you could probably use that same speech with, you know, sixth grade boys when in the wrestling team.
Yeah, I mean, like you work all year to try to be a state champion, and that's great, and that's a huge goal, and we want to try to accomplish that goal. But if that gets taken away from you, like, what are you left with? You're still an awesome kid. You're still a warrior. Yeah. You're still, you know, a harder worker than any other 14-year-old that I know. And you, no matter what you do, you're going to be able to accomplish it. So just because you didn't get the opportunity to get a medal at the end of this year doesn't change anything about who you are, you know?
No, absolutely. Well, we need more guys like you, kind of working with kids and just. you know, pumping them up a little bit, encouraging, but then also doing it in the right way, in the real healthy, positive way. Now, I saw a video on you were doing on Facebook, I think recently, and I didn't have the sound up and I was kind of doing something else. It either looked like you were doing somersaults on a mat or you were doing some kind of instruction. What was that?
Yeah. So my brother and I were both wrestling coaches. So we're playing around with the idea of doing like Facebook Live wrestling workouts.
Oh, cool.
So we can have kids kind of jump in, either do like a Zoom meeting or a Facebook Live meeting so kids can work out at home, doing just a whole bunch of wrestling, calisthenics and stuff like that, trying to do some technique, some hard workout. So we're trying to put that together, see if we can still, you know, engage with people while everyone's got time in their hands.
That's awesome. Okay. So if, say, a parent wants to reach out to you, hey, I would love to have my kids start wrestling, or he did in the past, or I have a question or two about financial stuff, where could they find you? Obviously on like social media, like Facebook, or where would they be, where would be a good place to find you?
Yep. On Facebook, that's where I put all my wrestling stuff. And then on LinkedIn, follow me on LinkedIn. I share a lot of great articles and things about what's happening, current events, things like that. So
cool.
LinkedIn, Facebook.
Okay, awesome. And then as far as having a baby during a pandemic, how's your wife doing?
She's good. She's a little bit stressed, as you can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, she comes from a great family, a great faith-based family, and her parents are, you know, speaking calm and praying and, you know, keeping our heads right. So we definitely appreciate family at this time.
Absolutely. Well, we'll do the same. And I'm sure I'll see some pictures of that newborn in a week or so, which is awesome. And we wish you nothing but the best and hope nothing but the best for your family and your future, and stay healthy. And tell your mom I said, yo.
All right. I will. Thanks, Dan.
Definitely. Okay, man. Okay. Thanks for checking in. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll see you.
Hey, we are with episode 20 guest, Mr. Jim Schlicker. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing good, Dan. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So where are you in your home? What's going on there? Where's your studio?
I'm barricaded in an office right now.
Oh, nice. Okay. My home studio, Studio 33, under the tub. Literally, I'm under the bathroom. So if someone takes a shower or a bath, you're going to hear a lot of water running in the background. So, and we're heading into bath time right now for little Gracie. So we might hear something. But Excellent. Anyways, like I said, we're checking in with all the guests and kind of seeing how life is a little bit different. Maybe habits have changed over the course of entering into a worldwide pandemic. And so we just wanted to check in with you to see how you're doing. First of all, everything healthy, you're good. Everything's good.
Yes. Everybody's healthy. I'm healthy. Everybody's a little bit of kind of on hold right now. Work for the local fire department here. And we've had some guys that have had somewhat exposures. So they had some tests taken and they're still waiting to get results. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
If they get results, then we're going to be like, okay, well, you know, 20 of us have had contact with you since you had this exposure or quasi exposure. So,
yeah.
Still kind of all on hold right now to see what happens with that.
So then if one does come up positive, would you find yourself being quarantined and stuff or what? Or tested, then quarantined?
You know what? I was kind of surprised the way they've described it, or I guess I'm, you know, how serious this is across the country, and everybody's, you know, doing their best to stay home and prevent the spread. But yet, you know, as first responders, it seems like there's a little bit different approach. And what I mean by that is, you know, we had some guys that had contact with a person that we didn't find out to, you know, 100 hours later that they were tested positive.
So, oh, wow.
The people that were exposed. So they were just asked if they had signs or symptoms, and they said no. And I said, well, if you want to go get a test, you can. But until you show any type of symptoms, we need you to be back to work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, you would almost think that you'd expect, well, we had a possible exposure. Why are we all not, you know, doing a 14-day quarantine?
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. But you think about it. If you did that for every first responder right now, there'd be no first responders left.
Yeah. You'd have no department. Yeah. In every city, pretty much.
That's true. No, that's even, you know, suburbia, you know, Chicago PD's got, you know, let's say just over 10,000 officers, you know, and they just had their first death recorded today. And they've got over, what, 800 off sick and 50 plus been tested positive. But the other ones were possibly exposed. That's a, you know, that's a whole different number. And if they weren't there working, who would you have handle calls? You know,
yeah.
So just a different approach to what the general public sees, and they don't see those numbers.
Yeah. And now with all these states kind of letting out criminals too, I think we probably need our police force at full capacity.
Yeah. They're definitely letting out ones that, you know, obviously in my opinion should not be released. So
yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't know anything about much, but yeah, they shouldn't be releasing a few of those guys. So, So anyways, how about your personal life? I mean, just like, how has your routines changed, your habits? How about your other job that you, are you traveling around with your other job too? Or,
you know what, Dan, I've we've got a nice group text going with the Caliber Press family of mine. And that's the company that I instruct with nationally. Yeah. We've had all classes canceled.
Right, wow.
Through the middle of May. So I don't even know if that's, I mean, I had, I think, 9 classes myself canceled. So there's a lot of downtime right now.
Okay.
Like right now, I should be on the road. I think I should be in Pittsburgh. Week right now, last week I would have been in Maryland. So there's a lot of things that have been canceled. And all the instructors, we just, you know, just, we miss doing that. We miss, you know, making the connections and hearing people's stories, especially in these trying times right now. So I've taken obviously a back seat to that instruction right now, just because we don't have the classes. The company, on the other hand, has been kind of pushing out little videos like you're doing, but more of a video cast of what the instructors are doing and how they're feeling and, you know, any words of wisdom they might have for other officers across the country. So that's kind of taken a back seat right now. The fire department has picked up a little bit. Obviously, you know, it's the first responder responding as an EMT. You know, we're, you know, I think there's DuPage County wise now, I think they might have 8 or 9 confirmed in the one town I work at. And, you know,
okay.
I think there's like 20 in Westmont right now. So confirmed cases. So
more
exposure right now. I was also working security in the Burlington Northern. And as you know, those trains have just taken a hit. I mean, there's, you know, on a normal day, getting downtown with how busy people are traveling to the city to work, you're looking at, you know, multiple trains going downtown with 1,500 to 2,000 passengers, you know, multiple times in the morning, you know, going from Aurora to the city. And now we're looking at passengers getting to Union Station. We're anywhere between 15 and 30.
Wow.
So they took a big hit. There's nobody going to the city right now. So,
yeah.
So that, you know, the hours of that, the train schedules had to change. BNSF is cutting back on their services because they got no passengers. So it's definitely affecting everybody a little different way.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to stay busy at work. So I think personally, I mean, the biggest thing that hit me is there's no gym time. You know, I got a GYM time, not GAM time. There's no time to go to the, you know, go to a health club and get your workout in. So trying to make stuff at home and do the best I can.
And that's pretty difficult. I'm finding that's really difficult.
Yep. That's hard. And that's definitely frustrating. You know, but then I get aggravated at the fact that, you know, how is it that we have health clubs are not essential, but yet the liquor store is?
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other story. Yeah. That could be a whole other story. Right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm making it. I, you know, I'm doing what I can, staying busy. We actually doing I know we're supposed to be staying at home, but tomorrow we're doing a group therapy under 10 people on 2-wheel Harleys going on an essential run for toilet paper, maybe out to Ottawa.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I heard Ottawa was a big hotspot for tons of toilet paper. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to find some toilet paper.
Okay. So like everyone else, your schedules have changed. You got a little more downtime. Work has been, you know, up and down like everybody's.
Yep.
What kind of, is there a new habit or a habit that you've kind of developed because you're in survival mode that you've kind of just, you see yourself or you realize that you're doing more often now? Is there a habit to kind of either keep yourself safe, keep yourself alive, literally, or just kind of keep yourself organized or sane? You know, any new habit?
I would say definitely washing my hands more often.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a for sure. You know, obviously decontaminating and wiping things down a lot more.
Yeah.
Again, that's obviously at home, but also at, you know, multiple workplaces right now. So there's a lot more of that, just being overcautious with decontamination.
Yeah. So you just find yourself being more mindful of the whole, you know, germ world.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you see this whole situation? Do you have some hope that it's going to end in, you know, a few weeks, or, and then kind of where do you see yourself kind of picking up in your different hats that you wear? You think it's going to pick up pretty quick for you, or you know, how do you see that kind of playing out?
You know, I'm still kind of, do I believe this is serious? I do. Do I think the media has turned the hype up way more than it needs to be? I do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they talked about the last couple of days, you know, these numbers are going to double. Well, they haven't doubled. I mean, they're going up, but they haven't doubled.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, they have that fear of doubling day after day after day. And they're not doing that. So is it possible they're not doing it because everybody's staying home? True. Or is it possible just because it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to think talking to the professionals that are, you know, kind of keeping track of this, and obviously, you know, get a lot of things from DuPage County Health Department and from Loyola Hospital and some local hospitals. I mean, obviously they're definitely saying that these next 2 weeks, starting right now to the next 2 weeks, is where we're going to see things spike and get really busy, where they're talking about McCormick Place and hotels and kind of being overstaffed, or I should say understaffed, with too many patients. So
yeah,
I think time will only tell. I just, where I'm sitting right now, I'm watching the numbers that they're not growing exponentially like I thought they would be growing.
Yeah.
But I think maybe everybody's, especially out here in, you know, Illinois suburbulite out here, I think most of us out here in the suburbs, because we're not on top of each other like in the city.
Yeah.
I think we're in a better place.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think, you know, just as we're just checking in with all our guests, kind of seeing how their lives have changed, or their habits have changed a little bit, and to kind of think about what you do, you're kind of right in the thick of it in kind of all areas. You're working with law enforcement, and you're in a room with them, training them, and then you're out with the public, with the fire department. So you're kind of still in the thick of it no matter what, you know, kind of what hat you're wearing, you're right in there. So
yeah, man, just like I said, I think the biggest thing is just being cautious, talking yeah. with each other. And again, everybody's, you know, reminding each other. I think it's important to, and I wish there was more of this, you know, we go on so many calls, and we go on these calls, our dispatch centers, they have a routine question, you know, they ask for their signs and symptoms right off the bat. Do you have a fever? You know, do you have flu-like symptoms? Whatever call it's on, they're going to get asked the same questions. Have you traveled lately? Those are important questions to ask. But there's nobody to confirm whether the person on the other side of the phone is telling the truth or not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Because they still want service. They still want us to come. So they yeah. might be in apprehension to not answer questions truthfully because they don't want to not get the service they believe they're expected to get. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We've gone on calls right now where we should have been told that this person just traveled back from XYZ. This person should have been told this, but they never told the dispatcher, so we're last to know. And now yeah. we're getting possible exposure. And I know part of it's anxiety. Part of it is I don't want to be another statistical number in DuPage County. You know, I don't know what's yeah. going to happen to me next. So there's a lot of fear of that. So people aren't being as truthful with their symptoms as they should be when they're looking for those first responders' assistance.
Yeah. Or it could go the opposite way. It's almost like, because there's so much hype and hysteria in the news, you know, you get like almost like when you look at your symptoms in like WebMD or something, like someone has a cough and, you know, they don't realize that they're just maybe swallowed, you know, went down the wrong hole or whatever, or you're just got an itchy cough, you know, coughing is one of the signs. So, and then they start getting themselves worked up, then they start getting, you know, like all crazy. And then Absolutely. They, next thing you know, they're on the phone with, you know, with you guys, tell them to come over and check it out. And so I think a lot has to do with back and forth about how people are feeling and their anxiety level, and
no, just, and I, you know, 100%. And I think there has been some great stuff out there on social media where they're, you know, readdressing the fact that it's not just a cough, it's not just, you know, asthmatic. It's you need to have that fever with it. You need to have this cough with it. It needs to be all these symptoms to be part of it. Now, yeah. it might be in the early stages of this, you know, or it could just be a cold, or it could just be allergy time right now.
But yeah, totally. Yeah,
you're always going to have the option to go take the test. But until you're at the point where you're like, all right, something's wrong right now, there's no cure for it. So your doctor's office is telling people to do what? Stay home and quarantine yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the best advice. Well, Jim, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to grab everybody that has been a guest. And first of all, we just want to give a virtual shout out to you and kind of check up to see how you're doing. We know a lot of our guests are just wearing a ton of different hats and all over different directions. And I think it'd be good just to kind of check in and say, hey, we're thinking about you, and just stay safe out there. And we'll talk to you down the road, man.
Thanks. Keep doing what you're
doing. Okay, see
you. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Yeah. See you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Do you know what this is?
Move the Beans Podcast.
Hey, we are with episode 8 superstar, Mr. Nate Debs. How you doing, Nate?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good, man. What's going on with you? Are you healthy? Everything is good with you with the whole coronavirus pandemic going around the world?
Yep. As of now, I'm doing okay.
Good. I mean, you're a busy guy. We'd learned that from episode 8. Has your schedule changed at all? Like, what's been happening with you?
Well, we just got back into landscaping. So the weather's back to normal again, finally. So we're still doing that unless someone pulls a gun on us and tells us we can't be on their property. We're still going.
Yeah. Now, are you considered, is landscaping considered like an essential job? Are you able, you're able, no one's giving you any trouble with that, or like government wise?
I'm calling it agriculture.
Okay.
Nice. I think that's the perfect description.
That's the word.
And then just, have you lost any accounts? Money's tight now. I mean, we've only been in this for a few weeks, but are people...
We've had some trickle down where people have scheduled bigger jobs and then came back and said, hey, we're going to have to postpone some stuff for a while. But I mean, that was kind of as expected as this started escalating.
Yeah. So with like regular, like lawn cutting stuff, you got your regular customers, everything is flowing pretty good.
Yeah. As far as the necessities and stuff go, everything's pretty much where it should be.
Yeah. And then what about, obviously now you're at the firehouse still, right?
Yeah. So we've been there. I mean, I've been there like almost every night the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so what are you doing? Are you playing like Mario? Are you playing Mario Karts or what are you? No, what's
my going computer on? Is just throwing updates or something at me. Keep going. Sorry.
Okay, so now with that job, you're dealing with the public. You could deal with some people who are sick. Is your anxiety level a little bit higher on that job? What's going on there?
No way.
No.
I throw on like the Donnie Darko bunny mask and we run in there in Gumby suits and we do it.
are they alarmed with your suit or your mask or anything like that? No, you're doing pretty good.
No, I think they're probably happier to see it that way because then, you know, they know that like, at least we're protected and it's kind of being taken seriously. But as far as other departments, we're doing like a Class B hazmat suit and then obviously an N95 masks and gloves and things like that. You know, if down the road there's shortages with these masks or other PPE, then we're instructed to throw on like our air packs for like fire training, stuff like that, okay. And just breathe out of a respirator. So
you're pretty much like stuff just bounces off you. You have like no or very little anxiety kind of dealing with this stuff. You're just doing your job. Do you even think about it?
No, it's not any different than like another medical call. We just have to be more cautious about like decon and stuff afterwards.
Yeah. And so some things changed around the firehouse in general. I mean, are you guys more cautious around there or is life kind of as normal around there too?
Yeah. So Clarendon Hills is a paid on call part-time department. So that gives guys the opportunity to come down to the station for calls to staff vehicles when the duty crew is out on a call. So we're not doing callbacks right now just to avoid extra bodies being in and out of the station in case somebody grabs something. You know, if they're sick or whatever and brings it in there.
Yeah.
As far as like our sleeping quarters and our day room and all that, they've spaced out, you know, like the 6 foot distancing between seats and chairs and trying to limit, you know, having all of us in one room together. They've kind of spread it out throughout the firehouse. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of like, not necessarily rationing, but we've definitely stocked up on cleaning supplies and people have been instructed to, you know, leave most of their stuff from calls out on the apparatus floor and not bring it into where we're living during the day.
Okay. Kind of keep all the germs if there's anything on there.
It just kind of, you know, is as strict as precautions as we can get with that job in the firehouse because we're a bunch of different people are leaving and showing up every 12 hours. So, you know, trying to keep everything as clean as possible.
Yeah. So what about the business that you own, Deb's Seasonal Services? You still have the same amount of employees? Are you still, you still need all hands on deck there too? And
we're always looking to get extra people, whether it's full-time or part-time, just to kind of keep expanding and being able to handle the workload that we're getting. As far as like impact of estimates and things with the virus and people being short on money or whatever, we haven't really seen much of a decline with any of that. So that's good. We're thankful for that. People are still reaching out and calling every day and want to meet for estimates, even though they're supposed to be quarantining and all that. So, I mean, that's fine. We give people the option, you know, if you're uncomfortable with us working on your property during this whole situation, we're happy to reschedule till after things clear up. But, you know, 90% of the people, they're not outside with us. So they just say, go ahead. You're good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Okay. So what about like your employees? How have you had to switch it up a little bit as an employer, kind of dealing with employees and kind of not only, you know, keeping them busy and getting them paid, like normal stuff that, you know, bosses are worried about or business owners, but now you have to be kind of concerned with their health too. So are you trying to take any precautions? Are you talking to the guys or have you set anything up?
Oh, we've limited like physical interaction, like kissing and hugging to lunch breaks only.
Wow. So you guys have like 4 hour lunch breaks then?
No, but I mean, like I said, we're outside and we're working in people's yards. So we're not really like right next to each other. We're all over.
Yeah.
As far as like, if somebody's sick, you know, they're supposed to communicate that. But I mean, everyone's been good so far, and outside of us working together, everyone's pretty much just at home doing their own thing.
Yeah. So, and you find yourself, I mean, because you're so busy too, you're not like, you're not coming home after, you know, working two jobs or whatever, and you're pretty much staying home when you get there anyways, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, just hanging out here, I'm at the firehouse overnight. So
when you're on call or whatever, right?
Yeah, but like this, we've had a lot of guys getting full-time gigs here and there, and people whose full-time departments have asked them to come back for overtime and, you know, force back shifts. So there's been a lot of openings at Clarendon Hills, which means the guys who are available should pick up the slack. So that's a lot of what I've been doing, you know, grabbing shifts for guys that have families and things like that, and making sure that they're covered and they don't have to go out of their way if they can avoid it.
Okay. So what do you think is, like, as you kind of look over the last few weeks when all this kind of started with your schedule, you know, working at the firehouse and then running your own business, dealing with employees, customers, is there anything that you had to adjust kind of drastically, or maybe even just a tiny bit, like a new habit that you kind of had to, you almost see you have to do now? And it almost as a habit that is going to have to continue even beyond this, because there's a new way of doing business, or it just hasn't really impacted you like that at all?
I mean, I started chewing again.
No,
I'm kidding. I mean, I am chewing again, but that's not what I had to change. I mean, as far as, so I guess like some days we may err on the side of caution with rain and weather and try to avoid working on certain properties just because we don't want to damage stuff with mucking up mud all over or damaging flower beds and stuff. But because there's the opportunity now where we might not be able to work down the road if, you know, isolation or essential business stuff takes another step to kind of quarantining everybody back to that. We're just kind of, any day that's nice that we can work, we're trying to do that to take it.
So you're just kind of, whatever work is available, if you can do it, you're doing it that day.
Yeah. And we're just putting it for customers that way. I mean, like, our schedules may change. So if something comes up and one job doesn't work out, we, you know, whether someone's scheduled next week, we may call them that day and say, hey, we got an opening. If we can come by today, that's good. We'll be by in a couple hours. But pretty much just trying to fill up whatever time that we have while the weather's cooperating and getting stuff done.
Yeah. And when you still can walk the streets without like the UN tanks running you over.
Yeah.
That's what I've been telling everybody. I said, we're all safe. Everything is good. We don't have to start loading our guns until we see UN tanks going down our streets.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I could think of that's coming up next is the Skeleton War.
And describe that for everybody.
I don't think you want to hear about it. You'll know what would happen.
If I see a couple of skeletons going down my block?
Yeah, dude.
Well, you know what? If it, I think you're on the short list of people that I want to show up in my driveway. If like crap, if like skeletons and UN tanks are running around and like zombies, I think I want to see your pickup truck with a bunch of firearms in the back just pull up into my driveway, and I'll be ready to go.
We'll try to put something together for you.
We have to figure it out. We'll get like a little militia, like a Westmont militia, and we'll start, you know, like protecting our turf, you know?
Yeah, we're like a superpower.
I don't think so. We're just probably, we need some chew, some firearms, and just a full tank of gas. That's it.
You got it.
And then some like 4-hour lunch breaks.
None of that.
None of that? Okay. Well,
30 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're doing well and business is cranking, and you're picking up some more hours at the firehouse, but just, you know, continue to stay safe. You're as crazy as you are, you're pretty responsible. So I know you're going to take all the precautions and you're going to stay healthy and stuff. So just hang in there, man. And thanks for joining us, and wish you nothing but the best, man.
Thanks. Keep moving my beans.
Okay. See you, bud. Bye. Bye.
Well, there you have it. The first of a few episodes where we check in on some previous guests to see how they're doing. Hope you enjoyed it. Be looking for episode 24. We actually have a great conversation with Chicago area Navy Lieutenant Patrick Marsh, a buddy of mine. He's actually serving on the USNS Mercy off the West Coast in Los Angeles during the coronavirus pandemic here. And I know you're going to love that conversation coming up and dropping in a couple days. So be looking for that. Until that time, be safe, be healthy, wash your hands often, drink some water, and love always. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye, folks.